Okay, welcome everyone to April 19th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Yes, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. And for the next 5 minutes, I will talk about America. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So, patriotic friends, let's begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everyone stand up, face the flag if you have one, and right hand on the hearts. Let's begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all right. So now on today's program, the shot heard round the world, we'll wish a happy birthday to First Lady Lucretia Garfield, and the wretched story of how the longest overdue library book is returned after 47 years. Children, you may want to cover your ears for this story. So, without further delay, let's get started on this. 1776, the day it all started. I mentioned yesterday about Paul Revere and William Dawes warning the colonists about the British arrival, and Major John Pitcairne found Captain John Parker standing on the Lexington Commons. Pitcairne ordered his troops to disarm the American militiamen, and Parker ordered his forces to disperse peacefully. Then was the shot, and it was on. By the time the smoke cleared, 8 American colonists were dead and 10 were wounded. Thus, the very brief Battle of Lexington. Pitcairne took his soldiers to Concord to destroy the weapons cache as ordered by the British Parliament. Only this time, the militiamen were ready for Pitcairne, and the militiamen routed the British troops during a firefight at Concord's North Bridge. Boom! The British retreated to Boston, but were under constant fire from snipers behind rocks and trees. The only reason Pitcairne had any survivors was because Lord Percy arrived with his column, who held pursuers at bay with artillery fire. By the time Pitcairne's men limped back into Boston, 20% of their numbers had become casualties. The American Revolution was now in full swing. It looked really good for the Americans until the Beatles came over and sang I Wanna Hold Your Hand, forcing Ed Sullivan to surrender his beloved theater. 1832. Happy birthday, First Lady Lucretia Garfield. Born and raised on a farm in Garrettsville, Ohio, Lucretia Rudolph has an ancestry that included Welsh, English, and German. Strong-willed and independent, Crete was well-educated, which of course was rare for women back then. She attended the Western Reserve Eclectic Institute at Hiram, which is co-founded by her father, these days just called Hiram College. She met her future husband, James Boatman Jim Garfield, while attending Hiram, and liked him right away. He liked her too, but told her he was hesitant to be with someone who wasn't physically affectionate or shown any emotion, as Crete tended to be a tough girl. They gave it a shot anyway and got married on November 11, 1858, both 26 years old. Still, the sparks didn't seem to fly. Garfield would leave and fight in the Union Army during the Civil War. In fact, during the first 5 years of their marriage, James and Crete only spent about 20 weeks together. Yet the couple would have 7 children, starting with Harry Augustus, born 1863, and James Rudolph, born 1865, both growing up to become attorneys. Mary, or Molly, as she was nicknamed, was born in 1867, and she would marry an investment banker named Joseph Stanley Brown. And then there was Irwin, born in 1870, who became a very successful lawyer in Boston, and Abram, born in 1872, who became a very successful architect. The other 2 children died very young. In fact, it took the death of 3-year-old Eliza for Jim and Crete to really take a serious look at their marriage. In 1880, Boatman Jim was nominated at the Republican National Convention, and she supported his campaign to the best of her ability. They had a front porch campaign, where the press came to their house. As the election left Garfield the winner, Crete accepted her first lady roles, although she was not a particularly social person. She was, however, very smart and polite, and generally well-liked. But Crete wouldn't have much of a chance to be first lady, since Jim was assassinated 3 months into office. His death was agonizingly long and painful, and goes beyond the scope of the story. However, I do cover it in detail on my September 19th ep. But let's just say that Crete handled it as much dignity as she possibly could, and would be able to raise $360,000 to put in a trust and spend her remaining winnings at a house that they had in Pasadena, California. Lucretia Rudolph Garfield would work with the Red Cross until her death on March 14, 1918, 85 years old. Happy birthday, Lucretia! 1955. Days and Deeds is due back at Kewanee Public Library in Illinois. Emily Canelo Sims was the perpetrator who checked out this book 2 weeks prior. She wouldn't return this book of poetry until 47 years later when she found it at her mother's house. Emily returned the book to the library with her check for the overdue fine, $345.14. Not only do I hope she learned her lesson, I hope she was kind enough to rewind the book. And so that's all, my friends, for April 19th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. And once again, I am your host, Joe DeCristoforo. Check out the website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. This is an interactive show, folks. Revolution buffs, do you have any memorabilia from the battles at Lexington and Concord? Or what's the longest overdue library book you've ever possessed? So yeah, let me know what you think. Now moving on to tomorrow's program. Well, it's my birthday for one thing, so if you want to wish me a happy one of those, I'll take it. Thank you. Also, news about the Spanish-American War, Edgar Allan Poe, the Columbine shooting, and Elvis Presley. You can also catch me on Facebook and Twitter, just so you know. So thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.